It's time. Time to get inspired and empowered. To realize it's never too late. To create your next amazing story. Get ready to break through, transform, and start living the life of your dreams. So, are you ready? Truly ready to begin your journey to create your next amazing story in life and love? Great. Let's jump in with your host, Life and Love Transformational Coach, Suzanne Oshima.
Welcome, everybody, to the It's Never Too Late show. I'm Suzanne Oshima, and I'm a Life and Love Transformational Coach at Your Next Amazing Story. Today, we have a very special guest, Ken Page, and he's a psychotherapist and host of the Deeper Dating Podcast. And I'm so excited because today we are talking about it's never too late to find authentic, lasting love. But before we jump into it, Ken, I would love to hear how you became a psychotherapist who really specializes in dating.
You know, I'll tell you how that happened, Suzanne. It happened because I was such a horrible dater for so many years, and might I say decades. And the subject of intimacy has always really been important to me, and the subject of relationships, which is a part of why I became a therapist. But I knew that I was just one of the biggest failures I knew in finding a relationship. I had so many things that I was just that, you know, I just felt like there's obviously some kind of mark against me. And I told myself it was, I guess it was like my looks and my personality were my main reasons why I somehow just wasn't attractive enough to get the guys, being a gay man, that I was looking for. That was my belief. That was my assumption. What I found out was that that was not at all the reason why. The reason was completely different. The reason was that I thought that there was something wrong with me. And that made me behave in ways that were defensive and not authentic. And when I discovered what I call core gifts, which are the kind of parts of you that make you the most you, the heart and soul of you, the real you, you know, that we always feel like we have to hide or airbrush because it's just not going to be sexy enough or attractive enough or irresistible enough or whatever. Those parts are our magic. They're our gold. And as I discovered that, I said, there's an amazing key here. The parts of ourselves we think we need to hide to find love are the absolute key to finding love. So this was a revelation, and it led to my writing and my books and all the work that I do, and it led to me being able to finally turn these patterns around and find wonderful, wonderful, lasting love at what was I then, 51,
awesome,
when I met my husband. Yeah.
Well, see, it's true. I mean, that's the whole point of this, is that it's never too late, right? To make these shifts in our life, because sometimes people will say, no, that's just the way I am, and that drives me crazy. It's like, that tells me that you don't want to shift into something better, right?
Exactly. And I just have to add one more thing, which is I'm also really bad at math. So I was actually 53. I just did the math now.
That's okay. We won't tell anyone.
Well, so, don't tell anyone.
Ken, I would love, you know, and I love that you shared how sometimes we can hide the parts of us that we feel are like, oh, I don't want to show anybody that. Because all too often, and I work with all women, single women in midlife who are trying to find love, and all too often I hear them say that they're afraid to be themselves on first dates because they're afraid the man isn't going to like them, or if he finds out who she truly is, that he's going to think that, oh, she's not for me. And so can you speak more into how a woman can really show up as her authentic self, even with all those little pieces that you talk about that she doesn't want to show to him?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here's the deal. The parts of yourself, not of your story, but of your personality, that you're most timid to reveal are the most beautiful parts of who you are. And here's the formula. the degree to which you don't honor and embrace them is the degree to which you're going to end up sexually and romantically attracted to people who also can't honor and embrace them and ultimately are the wrong person for you. The degree to which you embrace those parts and dignify them and actually start to cherish them and name them as gifts and then make this decision that your success in dating is going to be simply this, that you're going to be the real you and you are only going to be interested in people who love that. And I promise you, everybody, those people are out there, so you don't need to waste your time with anyone else. When you make that decision, your field changes. You start to meet different people. You feel differently about yourself. It's never that simple and that easy. Being human is such a sticky, complex thing. But in the broadest picture, it's actually also really true. And I can't tell you how many people I've seen make this change and see this happen. So here's what you can ask yourself. You can, and this I just want to say, this is true for people of all ages, all backgrounds, all gender identities, all sexual orientations. It's true for people with physical challenges. It's true for people who are 90. And the stories that I've discovered that, you know, in researching my book, the stories of people who were paraplegic and found deep, true, lifelong love, people who were 90 and found deep, true love for the rest of their lives. The stories are amazing because it's not about our age and it's not about our weight and it's not about our conditions. Except if you've got an active addiction or if you have untreated, unstabilized psychiatric disorders. Those things you got to work on and take care of before you're going to be able to really find love. But in all the other circumstances, it's a matter of finally embracing who we are. And all the dating advice doesn't teach us this. It teaches us how to graft on other characteristics or change ourselves or airbrush ourselves. And there ain't no magic there. There's just pain when we do that.
Yeah. You know, you brought up a really great point about, and I hear this a lot, is, and I'm sure you have too, is a woman will say, oh, I just need to lose 10 pounds before I get out there and date. And, you know, to me, this is what I feel, is that until a woman can accept her own body and love her own body, no man is going to love your body until you love it yourself and accept it yourself. And so what do you say to that woman that says, I need to lose weight before I get out there and date?
Yeah, such a great question. And I know I related to that for so long, too, because that was one of the reasons I thought I couldn't find love was because I was about 10 pounds overweight. I really believed that that was one of the biggest reasons. And let me just tell you, I like at one point became incredibly buff. And did I have more dates? Yes. Did I have more sex? Yes. Was I an inch closer to finding love? Absolutely not. So, here's what I would want to say. I want to say three things. First, if somebody's going to be attracted to you at this weight, they're going to still probably be attracted to you 10 pounds over or 10 pounds under because you're their type.
Right.
And they're all different types. That's what makes the world go around. If you are 30 pounds overweight or 40 pounds overweight or 50 pounds overweight, I also would say don't wait because there are men who are going to be romantically and sexually attracted to you at this weight because there are guys that like bigger women. This is really true. And if you carry it with love and sexiness and delight, you just, you know, then you're in touch with your own beauty. So I really, there's all different types of attractions. Everyone does not have to be a stick figure. It's really, really true. And so I think that's a really important thing. The other thing I want to say is there's research done, and what it shows is the most important thing that you can do is have like work on your posture and just look well-groomed. If you do those two things, you have upped the ante dramatically. And those are like normal range things that everybody could do. So, and there's really solid research on that too. But I'm going to say one last thing that I want everybody to hear. There was a huge study done of people of all ages, all genders, all backgrounds, and all locations. Well, not all, but a wide, wide variety. And the question was, what is the characteristic that is the most important to you in finding a mate? Like, what's the one that's going to really, really mean the most to you? And it wasn't looks. And it wasn't success, and it wasn't intelligence. It was kindness and understanding, which happened to be the best forecasters of a relationship success, if both parties have that. So why are the magazines not telling us to work on our kindness and understanding more than our glutes and our abs? How did that happen?
I know why.
Tell me why.
Because it doesn't sell magazines to say work on kindness.
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely true. And it doesn't grab people and make them feel like, ooh, I can fix my defects and then finally find love. And it's really your soul, folks. It's your heart and your soul that is going to be the main instrument in you finding love.
Right, right. Now, what would you say to a woman who hasn't dated in a long time? Because maybe she got divorced later in life, and maybe she was married for, say, 20 years, and she hasn't, you know, online dating didn't even exist when she met her husband then. And so now she's feeling like a deer in the headlights of like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And she feels overwhelmed. And quite honestly, she feels scared. And what would you say to her on maybe the first three steps that she can take that make her feel like, okay, this isn't so bad, I got this?
What a beautiful question. That's a great question. The first three steps. I really like that better than just saying one thing. Let me just take a moment and think about that. Okay, the first step I would say, and this is, it's what I talk about in my book, Deeper Dating. It's the entire first step. It's the first step of my book. It's the first step I talk about on the Deeper Dating podcast. It's the first step in my classes and my courses. It's the first step, and that is to know what I call your core gifts, those qualities that are the most intimately, truly you, and to learn to treasure those. That's step one, two, and three. And if we don't do that, dating doesn't work. And if we do it, something really changes. The second thing I would say is understand the difference between, we all kind of in some way have two basic kind of attractions. We could be attracted to people who are not quite good for us, but we want to get them to love us right. And they're so close, but they don't love us right. They're not available. They're dating someone else. They're arrogant. They get nasty, whatever. But they're nice to us a lot, and we don't have anything else. And we feel like, I got to make this work. Those are what I call attractions of deprivation, and they always lead to pain. But there's another kind of attraction, and it's what I call attractions of inspiration. And those are people who inspire you with the consistency of their goodness, their decency, and their availability. And those are the only kind of people you want to date. And if you go out there knowing that's all you're looking for, you will protect yourself against a lot of pain just by doing that. So that's the second thing. Here's the third thing. Folks, one of the ingredients is bravery. It is, we got to get out there. And it doesn't have to be online. And in fact, the best way to meet people, apart from having your friends who know you really well connect you with people, the second best way is to go to events with people who share your values. Now, that is events where people of the gender you're interested in attend. Go to events where people who share your values gather, because you will shave off so much time in your search for love. So those are the things I want to say. Like, you can't just sit behind the computer. And if you're someone who doesn't know how to get behind the computer and do all that stuff, well, that's okay. you might ultimately learn to harness the power of your internet capacity. Julie Spira is someone who talks about that, and she's really wonderful. She does a lot of great teaching on that. But get out there in person because it's going to work best. So those are the three things that I would say. But I'd love to hear what your three things are, Suzanne, as an expert who works with women in that situation. I do too, but I'd love to hear yours.
Sure. So I would say the first step I would say is, number one, acceptance with where you're at. Because I find all too often a lot of women aren't accepting where they're at, whether they just went through a breakup or they want to find love in midlife and they're feeling like it might be impossible for me, or not being okay with being single. Some people just aren't. They don't feel comfortable being single, but being okay with where you're at this moment in time, because where you're at is exactly where you're supposed to be. I would say step two is, if you're feeling really afraid, is to do the research, because all too often I see where fear can hold us back from taking the steps towards what we truly want. And so when we do the research, then it's not as scary, because then it's like, oh, okay, I have some information that I'm armed with, and now I know how to go about doing this if you haven't dated in, say, 20 years. And then the third step I would say is, you don't have to take 10 steps towards it. Just take baby steps. And
absolutely,
because when you take one baby step, it could be the smallest thing, you're gonna go, oh, that wasn't so bad, and then that's gonna build the confidence to take the next step, and then the next step.
Yes.
And then you're gonna be 10 steps along, and then you're gonna look back and go, oh, what was I afraid of when I first started? I don't even know why I was so afraid. So those would be my three steps.
I love it. Yeah. And, you know, hearing what you say makes me want to just add something else, too, which is, people talk about fear of intimacy, but all of us have fear of intimacy because love is the most precious thing of all. And how would we not be afraid? We've all been hurt in different ways, you know. How would we not be afraid of someone letting us down or ghosting us or disappearing or turning into another person? Most of us have had the experience of that happening. So fear of intimacy is a very human thing. But as a result of that, we build defenses where we flee the love we're seeking. And I would say that it's a great gift to yourself to understand how you might actually, like, what are your, what I call flight patterns? How might you actually be avoiding finding the love that you so desire? And when you change those things, your future will change. So that's another really big kind of inner game piece of work that people can do.
Yeah, you know, Ken, I love that you brought that up, because a lot of times I will hear a woman say, I really want to find love. I really want to be in that relationship with the man that I could spend the rest of my life with. Yet she has so much fear about getting hurt again, or fear of rejection, that it quote unquote paralyzes her from taking the steps forward. So I love that you said that.
Yeah. And let me just say, all the info, you know, people talk about how, like, it's like a buyer's market for men, and how, you know, men just have it so much easier. And men also, especially men, like, want younger women, a ton younger, and all of that. And I think there's great truth to that. I have to say I do. But the search for love is not a numbers game. It's really, really not. And when you kind of do the steps to lead from your soul, to be who you are, to share those parts of yourself, and then only choose people who honor those parts of you and with whom, this is what I say. I say the biggest question in dating is, does my soul feel safe with this person? Mm. Does my deep heart feel safe with this person? And if the answer is no, nope. And if the answer is yes, then there are a lot more questions and you go to the next step to see. But it's the first question. So when you date like that, The numbers game to a large degree becomes irrelevant because you're using a completely different formula. And that formula has different rules.
Right, right. So I want to address something that you said about men of a certain age always wanting to date younger women. Because I find, and I do have clients that will tell me that exact same thing, but I will also tell them, yes, of course, there are some men that want to date younger women, but there are plenty of men that want to date women of their own age range. And I have plenty of clients that have gotten engaged, gotten married to men their own age. So what would you say to the woman that has that inner belief system that all men my age just want to date younger women?
I would say exactly what you just said, Suzanne. I think you hit the nail on the head. Yes, it's true. There are a bunch of guys like that. But are there all the guys like that? Absolutely not. And are there a good number of guys who are not like that? Absolutely yes.
Right. So it's about ignoring the fact that those men want to date the younger women, because those aren't the men you want anyways, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And focusing on the men that are looking for you.
Absolutely. You know, and you talk to people of any age range and they will say, I'm frustrated because the men or the women or whatever the gender is that I'm interested in have this and this deficit quality that I see again and again, and it makes me crazy. People in their 20s, people in their 30s, people in their 40s, there are always deficits that so many, well, we all have deficits, but really, 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 when you apply these deeper lessons, somehow you magnetize people who are looking for someone like you. And when you don't apply these lessons, no matter how many good people there are out there, you're much less likely to find them. Because the way you search for love largely determines the kind of love you find. And we don't get taught that.
Right. So, Ken, what would you say to that woman that is like, well, this sounds great, Ken and Suzanne. You guys are so optimistic. But you know what? I've been out there. I've been dating. And you know what? It's not all flowers and rainbows. And so I'm ready to give up. What would you say to her?
I would say you have been hurt by a lot of jerks. And maybe you've even developed some defensive patterns of your own that get in the way. And yes, the world is filled with jerks, and online dating sculpts jerky behavior. Swiping right and left sculpts jerky behavior. The anonymity of dating sculpts jerky behavior. All of that is true. All of that is true. What's also true is that there are, at this moment, wonderful, wonderful men who are out there who would love to meet you, someone like you or you, and they're waiting, and they're lonely, and they're there. And in a way, it's your choice. Are you going to go for that or not? But I would tell you to be armed with greater discrimination. When you go out there and your question is, does my heart feel safe with the way this person is being? And if the answer is yes, you move ahead. If the answer is no, you maybe check it out a little bit more. And if the answer remains no, you get the hell out of Dodge. When you date that way, you will be hurt a lot less, because to say what you're saying to the woman who is saying what you said, you've been hurt a lot. And you have a right to protect yourself against jerky behavior. And you can do it earlier on by trusting your discrimination.
Yeah, such a good point. And I have to add something into that.
Please.
Do you know who Maury Zelkovich is?
No.
So I interviewed him a couple of months ago, and he said a good check to see if someone's right for you is a three-thing test, which is check your head, check your heart, and check your gut. And if all three of those things are in alignment and say yes, then, like you said, move forward. If something,
I love that.
I know. And if something is off and you feel it, and I feel like women are so intuitive, we know when something's off and you can feel it in your gut. And when you feel that funny feeling of, something's not right, trust your gut or your heart or your head.
You know it. You know it. That's great.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
So, and this who is it again? Because I'm going to quote him on that.
It's Maury Zelkovich.
Maury Zelkovich. Okay, great.
Yeah, he's in Canada. He's amazing. I'll send you his info at the end of this interview.
Oh, good. Thank you. Yeah.
But this has been great. So, Ken, I would love for you to share with the ladies how they can find you and your amazing book, Deeper Dating.
Thank you so much. Place to go is deeperdating.com. Very simple. Deeperdating.com. You'll find out about my book. You'll find out about the Deeper Dating podcast. You'll find out about the classes I teach. And if you sign up for my mailing list, you'll get the first two chapters of Deeper Dating, which has been an Amazon number one bestseller in the arena of dating. You will get the first two chapters, and the first two chapters will teach you how to discover your own core gifts.
Aw, I love that, because that's actually about the first step in that a woman
it's
can
take. The first step. That's right.
Awesome, ladies. So go get that gift from Ken. So thanks, everybody, for joining us on the It's Never Too Late show. Our show is available both in video format and podcast format, which you can view on yournextamazingstory.com. And if you would like to get our free ebook, How to Create Your Next Amazing Love Story in 3 Simple Steps, you can click right here on the video, or you can go to yournextamazingstory.com.
Love today's episode of the It's Never Too Late show? Then head on over to yournextamazingstory.com to continue the conversation. Get access to show notes and get more amazing content.